Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Welcome to church. It's great to have you here online. How good is it? I'm just standing there just thinking, it's so nice to be surrounded by people and just to be able to worship. Part of me likes not having to sing because then I don't have to look at the words and remember what they're saying. And so I can just kind of zone in and just think about God. And just focus on him and me in that space. And a part of me really likes that. I don't want to stay like that, so anyway. But there is a time when that can be really good. Well, this morning, apparently my message title went out and everyone's going, I'm looking forward to the message this morning. It's going, it may not be like what you think. No, there's not going to be any physical displays here. So my title for the message this morning is Muscle Up. Now, this has been our month of Kingdom Breakthrough, and we've been believing for, you know, specific ways that God's kingdom can break through into our life, like that his kingdom will kind of come down and break into our everyday. And that's what we've been believing for. And in the life of Jesus, we see that happening. We're believing that because we see it in Jesus. So that's why we believe it. And so, you know, we see that where he walks and where he talks and where he is, that he brings that kingdom of God. And that so that is kingdom breakthrough. It's when God's kingdom comes and touches something in our world. And we see that in Jesus all the time because he is God's kingdom come. And then as I read these passages this week, like, to be honest, a lot of them were challenging and I wasn't quite sure where to take them. But then I read this small little bit that had really big implications and a really big impact on the way that we can follow Jesus. And therefore, I believe, see kingdom breakthrough for ourselves. So let's start by looking at Luke 14. And it's just the verse 25 to 28. It says, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For those who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money, for who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it. And, you know, that's kind of confronting and it's harsh. In fact, this interpretation of the Bible is kind of puts a nice edge to it. Other translations actually just say, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone. And I read that and I go, there must be something more here. But Matthew 10, with the same thing, he says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. And so I read those and I just go, Ouch. They're really harsh words, and there's actually no way really of softening them. You know, that's what the translation is. And so when I read passages like that, it just stops me, and I start to question. I think, well, who am I? What do I believe? What am I following? Who's Jesus? Is it the same Jesus that I thought I was following and believing in? Because they seem really extreme and really shocking. And we can just kind of pass them off and go, well, he didn't mean that, but he said it twice. So I think he did mean something by it. So what I think we need to do when we get to passages like this, we have to stop and we have to ask that basic question. What does it tell me about Jesus? Not what do I think he's saying, but what does this passage tell me about Jesus? And I came across three things that I think that this passage tells me about Jesus, about who he is. The first thing is I felt like that he was really serious, that he was serious about his message. He was serious about his life, and he set the example about what he meant, so that he actually left his father. Like, he left everything in heaven. He didn't consider that more important than obeying God and following what God has asked him to do. He didn't think, I'm just going to stay in the comfort of heaven and we'll kind of make it work. No, he was obedient, and so he left all of that. Said he was obedient even to death on a cross. And so Jesus was really serious about his message, and so that he did exactly that. He left his father and his life in heaven because he knew that real love for others actually flows out of love for God. That is showing love for God. You know, in Matthew 22, he replied to someone who asked what the greatest commandment was. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And Jesus took that really seriously because he knew that when he got that right, when we love God first, that everything can flow out of that. Loving our mums and dads, loving our sons and daughters, loving all the people that are in our family and our wider community, that we can't actually truly love them until we love God first. The second thing that I found out about Jesus from this passage was that he was completely aware of what he was doing. So he was actually talking about a cross in this passage. The words are translated as it's a, you know, execution stake thing. And we understand that to be the cross that he died on. And so he used that words way ahead of actually going to the cross. So he knew exactly what he was stepping into. He knew what was going to be coming. He knew what was ahead of him. He was completely aware. He knew his Bible. Like, he knew all the prophecies in Isaiah that talked about him. He understood them all. He knew that he was going to be that suffering servant. He had counted that cost, and he chose it. So he counted the cost of what he was about to embark on, and he went ahead. He was completely aware. The third thing that I see is that Jesus was prepared. He made sure that in, you know, his bank of love for humanity, that it was full enough and continually being filled to complete what he had come for. That he'd done his calculations and he was, you know, continually working on that throughout his life in order to see it through to the end. He did this by prayer. You know, in Mark 1:35, you know, it talks about, you know, before daybreak, he would get up and he would go out to an isolated place and he'd pray. Like, that's not an isolated, incident. He would do that over and over. He would talk to his Father. He would pray and just, you know, be prepared for the day ahead. Be prepared for the people he was going to meet. Be prepared for the mission he was accomplishing. But he also knew his Bible. He'd done the hard yards learning the sustaining Word of God. Right from a young boy, he'd started feeding on those words and knowing them. You know, in Matthew 7, we see that, you know, when Jesus had finished saying these things, like he was talking in a synagogue, he was preaching, the crowd were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with someone with real authority. It wasn't just that he was the Son of God. We know that. Of course he had authority in that. But he was teaching. He was teaching their Bible. Like, he knew it. He knew it completely. And he didn't get this super download as a baby. He learnt it. He went to lessons as a child. And he read it. And he loved it. And so we see that, you know, with all these things, you know, as we start to unpack this little passage, which at first seems really confronting and really shocking to us, we actually see it becoming demystified. We see that little bits of it start to gain perspective in a picture that's a whole lot bigger. And so as, you know, as we get that little bit of perspective and we say, okay, this is what it tells me about Jesus. This is something that it helps me to understand it and unlock who he is. You know, our next part is we'll go, okay, if this passage is in the Bible and it tells me this about Jesus, what does it mean then for the way I might follow him? Like, what does it mean for me? Is that just for Jesus? But then he's giving me an instruction. So what does it mean for me? Well, Jesus did literally, I mean, he literally had to pick up his cross and carry it. We know that. We know that he was, the authorities told him, you know, they'd whipped him, they beat him, and then he had to pick this up, shoulder it, and start walking up the hill to his execution. And in the past, people actually have interpreted the passage in that way. In medieval times, like as a reaction, reaction against all the excesses and the indulgence of the church at the time, you know, some monks would literally do this. They'd build a cross, they'd stick it on their back, and they'd walk around to show that they were, you know, they were giving up everything. They were not going to live the excesses of the church at the time, but they were going to give up everything as Jesus asked them to. I don't think that's what Jesus is asking us to do, though, thankfully. I don't think he's actually, you know, talking about a specific wooden thing that we have to pick up and carry. You see, the cross for Jesus was actually, it's not just a wooden beam, it's the culmination of his life on earth. That was what the cross was. And his journey to the cross wasn't just up the hill to Golgotha, it was actually the 30 years beforehand and the rest in heaven, but we'll just focus on those 30 years. And it's those 30 years, that's what he wants us to pick up. That's what he's asking. He's saying us to pick up that cross and to follow him. Because his life was, you know, he was serious in it. And he was aware of what he was doing and he was prepared. And this is what he's also asking us to follow him in. So to understand that, I started imagining, actually physically picking up a cross. And then all I could think of was, I really don't have enough muscles for this. I am not strong enough. And, you know, we've got our Olympics on now and there's some pretty strong people in that. We're watching the gymnastics last night and they're ridiculous. But I still think that I've got a lot that I need to build in me in order to be able to do that. And so I do think that God is asking me to muscle up too, to muscle up to what is ahead, to muscle up to what it means to follow Him. And so I spoke to one of the resident muscular men in my house. I'm not allowed to mention any names. We won't mention any names. And because I needed some advice. So to muscle up, what do I need? And these are the keys that I could get for carrying my cross if I was, you know, physically muscling up. He said I needed to be serious. Funny that. I needed to be committed. I needed to be serious about it. If I actually wanted to develop some muscles, I had to be serious. And he said I had to put it ahead of my love for my warm bed, which I thought was quite shocking at the time. He also said I need to be aware. What do I need to be aware of? I need to be aware of my muscles. I need to know how to target specific ones, to understand how my muscles work and what it takes to do it. To be aware of the possibilities of aches and pains and discomfort and all those things that are involved. The third thing is that I actually need to be prepared. So I need to plan it. I need to have a routine going. I need to build up slowly, take a little bit of a time and build it up. I need to have good food. I need to feed myself well, you know, full of good protein. And also it's good to have people to check in with for technique, for encouragement, things like that. And, you know, as we were having this discussion, that's exactly what Jesus showed me in the other part of the passage, you know, in the Bible. Like, that's what he was showing me is how he lived his life on his way to the cross. He showed me that he was serious, that he was aware and that he was prepared and that all these things went into him being able to live that life. So for me today, to follow Jesus and to muscle up, it's exactly the same thing. I need to be serious about it. I need to be serious about him. I need to love him first. And, you know, I have love for my mum and my dad and my family and people around me. But I can't truly love them if I don't love Jesus first. The love that I have in myself is going to have faults. It's going to have cracks in it. And it's going to let me down. It's going to let them down. But if I can love Jesus first, then I can love them really well. If I want to be his disciple, then I need to do it like him, basically, is what he's saying. The other thing is I need to be aware. I need to be aware that this commitment that I've made to him, it's a lifetime commitment. That it's going to be hard sometimes. That not every part of the journey is easy. That it's going to take some sacrifice from me. And that there may be some specific areas in my world that I'm going to have to work on a little bit more than other areas. And even though some bits might be painful, that I need to, you know, count that cost and weigh it up and then see it through to the long haul. I don't think he's saying weigh it up and decide whether you're going to do it or not. It's kind of more of a weigh it up and see how you're going to do it. Like, how you're going to pace yourself through it. Because there will be strategies you need to put in place in order to pace yourself through. Like, if you do want to build a building and you don't have the money straight away, it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. You put strategies in place in order for that income to keep coming in so you can keep building that building. So it doesn't mean you don't go ahead with it. You just work out how to do it so you can see it right through. And the last thing is that I do need to be prepared. There are things that I need to work at every day. I need to feed myself well. I need to get some spiritual protein. And that was from my muscle mentor. I thought that was a good one. You know, I need to know my Bible. That's the spiritual protein. That's the bit that we can feed ourselves well. And we just can start with little bits, just a little bit of the Bible. You know, the something in one of these Gospels that we're reading, we just start at the beginning of one of them and just read a little bit at a time. And then we build up as we get stronger, as we kind of discover it. It's actually really fun reading the Bible and there's amazing stuff in this Bible. Then we can start venturing into the harder passages and the bits that are a bit more meaty and a little bit more tricky and might need a little bit more understanding and help from others. And so then we can also partner that with a consistency in prayer. That's where we're touching base with someone who can give us tips and technique and encouragement. God, like, he's the one that can keep us going. He's going to champion us more than anyone else in following Jesus. And when we talk to him, he wants to help us to understand. He wants to kind of pinpoint areas and go, oh, this muscle needs a bit of work, where we can just push in a little bit harder and go a little bit more for him. So that consistency of prayer is just so vital as well. It's all these things that are part of picking up our cross and following Jesus. Jesus led this life of kingdom breakthrough. Like, ultimately, the kingdom breakthrough that he brought was death on the cross. Like, that was his ultimate way of saying, this kingdom now is going to come down and break through. It's going to cut through all the mess that we've created in humanity. It's going to, you know, change just that whole situation where we're stuck apart from God and we can't get close. Like, that's what he was breaking through. He was breaking through an ability for salvation to come into our world so that we could reconnect back to God. He made that possible because he was obedient, because he picked up his cross and he made that journey down to earth, baby, growing up, you know, all those years just preparing, sowing in to his ministry and then living that on earth, those 3 incredible years of just pouring out everything he had to the people around him. And now he's asking us to follow him in that. And when we read that, we can just go, that's hard. It is. It really is hard. If we're serious about it, it is hard. But he says we can do it. He believes that it's possible because he's made it possible. And so now it comes down to that practical point. Go, well, okay. So if this is what it takes, what do I do now? What's the thing that I need to change today to follow Jesus? You know, maybe that you need to be more serious about it. Maybe you find that the things of family or the world or jobs, or there's other things that actually are taking first place in your world. Maybe you just need to flick it and find that place where God is first, that He's the first thought in your morning, that He's the where your heartbeat really is. Because out of that heartbeat for God, then will flow love for our kids, our parents, our friends, everyone around us. It may be that you've not really been aware of what it takes, and you've just kind of been, just bobbing along. But it's time to actually dig in. It's time to go, you know what? I understand now that this life takes commitment, that this life is not just an aside to my life, that this is my life and the rest of everything is an aside to it. That following Jesus, everything flows out of that, that all the parts of my life flow out of that, and that I'm not going to give up. That when I hit one of those really rough patches where it's really hurting at the moment and I just don't know if I can cope anymore, that I'm just going to dig in a little bit deeper and press in a little bit harder to follow God, to love Him, to let Him be my Lord, and just hold on if that's what it takes. Or it may be that you just think, I just feel completely unprepared for this job. That the prospect of picking up a cross and following Jesus seems impossible because I'm not equipped for it. Maybe now's the time just to pick up your Bible every day, to, you know, have a plan and stick by it, to pick it up and read it, to touch base with God, your mentor, the one that will encourage, the one that will just give those tips and advice on where to adjust things. Start praying, talking to Him, being in touch with Him constantly. Is there something there that, you know, that you need to change? To follow Jesus, to be more serious, aware and prepared. If you want to start that now, you know, like you haven't actually taken any steps to follow Jesus in the past, or that you think you might have dropped the cross at some point, you can begin again this morning, right now, and you can begin by just talking to God about it. It's just talking to Him and telling Him. Like, it's actually just voicing, articulating to God that you want to follow Jesus, that you want to do this, that you want Him to show you how to do life. It's saying that you're sorry where you've got it wrong, or you've forgotten, or you've messed up. And it's saying you'd really like to be one of God's children, and you'd love Him to help you follow Him. That's where we start. Like, that's the beginning of following Jesus. That's the beginning of understanding how to muscle up and step into this life. So I'm going to pray that prayer now. And if you would like to join in, you can do that. But I'd love to know afterwards if you have prayed that. Because following this, then it's also really good to get other people around you encouraging you. You know, like if, you know, I see those Olympic athletes and they don't have the crowds at the moment around them. Those stadiums are empty and it's sad. But their teammates are there cheering them on, and their coach is there cheering them on. They're surrounded by people still, supporting them and encouraging them and keeping them going. So that's why we'd like to know, so we can be on this journey to you and just, you know, help you to that next stage. So I want to pray Just close your eyes and just pray with me. Say, dear God, I want to follow Jesus. I ask you to come and show me how to do life. Show me how to be serious about this. Show me how to be aware of what's ahead. Show me how to be prepared to make it right through. I'm sorry, I've been doing life my own way. Make me your child and help me follow you. Thank you, God, for loving me. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.